content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Essence magazine, and this edition is October edition. On the cover of this edition, we have Khalees, which is a R&B hip-hop musician. And it looks like she's going to tell her story about staying strong and honoring her truth. We're also going to cover Amara La Negra. She's an Afro-Latina, and she says, Afro-Latina, stand up. Susan L. Taylor will cover Aretha Franklin. And then we're also going to go over Black and Deported. Now what? The risks and your rights. So let's go ahead and get started. A note from Team Essence. You are so beautiful. When it comes to beautiful ones with serious staying power, our cover star Khalees quickly comes to mind. In Stronger Than Pride, the Harlem native shares some of her beliefs about attaining beauty both internally and externally. If you're even a tiny bit beauty obsessed, this issue is especially for you. It's jam-packed with the latest and greatest skincare, hair tips, and tools for Black women from all over the globe. And who runs the world, girls? Nakia Spratley talks to international beauties who share their grooming secrets, some of which have been passed down through generations. Enjoy the issue, beautiful ones. We see all the melon magic, Team Essence. Up close, meet our contributors for this issue. Adrienne Raquel. She is a photographer and art director based in New York City. Inspired by summer vibes and tropical motifs, her work is playful, vibrant, and nostalgic. With a feminine perspective, she loves to make the simplest subjects come to life through color, play, and expertly used her skills to bring out the best in singer and chef Khalees for Stronger Than Pride. Raquel's images have appeared in various publications, including Allure, Nylon, and Interview magazines. And she counts brands such as Revlon, Sally Hansen, Nike, Urban Outfitters, and Michael Kors among her clients. Mashonda Terror. She is a singer-songwriter, art collector, and philanthropist who states that she's committed to empowering and inspiring women across the globe. For this month op-ed, Come Together, the mother of a young son riffs on the highs and lows of joint parenting, a topic she explores thoroughly in her new book, Blend. The secret to co-parenting and creating a balanced family. It's in stores now. And then we're also, and then the last contributor is Susan L. Taylor. She's our legendary, or I should say Essence legendary editor-in-chief, is a best-selling author who grew up in Harlem. At 24, she founded her own cosmetics company, which led to her acquiring the beauty editor position at Essence, the publication she would go on to shape for more than two decades. It was that enterprising spirit plus a love for her community that prompted her in 2005 to establish Essence Cares, now called the National Cares Mentoring Movement, an organization dedicated to providing vital services for Black children. The lifelong activist penned a moving tribute to the late Queen of Soul, Aretha. Hair. Born this way, or from Amsterdam to Rio and Johannesburg to Brooklyn, a new natural hair revolution is afoot wherever there are kinks, coils, and curls. And on this particular page, I see a woman that has braids in her hair, and she has it like a French roll in the back. Hair, world wonders. Dominique Snip was fed up. She had been living in the Netherlands for 4 years after immigrating there with her family when she was just 17. And in that that period, she had adjusted to a lot, including a dramatic shift in weather from her sunny native Suriname to cold Holland. But she had not gotten used to the racism. Quote, "I immediately noticed that being a black woman in the Netherlands was not easy," says Snip, who was teased at school because of her skin tone and hair texture. "They really made sure you knew you were different and didn't belong there," end quote. These attitudes brought her a lot of emotional pain when she was a teenager. So at 21, Snip did something about it. "I needed a touch-up," she says, about the day in May 2004 when she finally had enough. She thought about making an appointment, then she stopped. "I looked in the mirror and asked, why am I doing this? What's wrong with me? Why am I not accepting myself?" Snip picked up a pair of scissors and cut off all of her straight hair. My mother's response was, "Have you gone crazy?" She says she had not lost her mind. Instead, she had found herself. "I don't know if God talked to me or my ancestors whispered something, but I thought, wow, you are beautiful as you are." She says, "From then on, I was like, I accept the new Dominique and love her." Today, Snip is one of the faces of the Netherlands natural hair movement. She owns Shadu, which consists of three natural hair salons and a black hair care collection that was one of the first in the country. And though she once felt like an outlier as a natural hair woman in the Netherlands, she now has lots of company. Over the past few years, there has been an explosion of black women around the world going natural. Bloggers write about natural hair in many languages. Entrepreneurs make styling it easy with their salons and product lines. And actresses, including Kenya's Lupita Nyong'o and Brazil's Thais Araújo, who called her decision to go natural on television a social responsibility, are bringing it to big and small screens. Some of these women identify as activists, proclaiming a link between natural hair and black women's empowerment. Others are on a journey that is about beauty, not politics. Many live in countries where markers of whiteness, including straight hair, are seen as the beauty ideal. In a direct refutation of this, Snip and others like her are spreading the natural hair movement to all corners of the globe. The roots of the new revolution. In the first decade of the 21st century, masses of black American women again began rejecting relaxers and exploring a range of styles from cornrows to locks to head wraps to afros. Natural hair celebrities including Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, Indy Arie, Jill Scott, Tracy Ellis Ross, and Alicia Keys were taken over television with videos in 2012. Even Prince returned to being natural and debuted a teeny afro. Finally, Hollywood and the music industry were recognizing the beauty of natural hair. And women who were not famous were becoming household names because of theirs. Bloggers and YouTube stars such as Francesca Ramsey, Patrice Afrobella Grail Yursik, and Curly Nikki's Alicia Nicole Walton gained legions of followers. By 2013, a Google search for black hair blogs brought up close to 300 million results. Social media sites showcased hair care tips, products, and styles all day, every day, for everyone or for anyone with an internet connection or smartphone. Much of it marked with hashtag Team Natural. Women like the late master braider and documentarian Yvette Smalls toured the United States giving talks stressing the politics behind hair. The natural hair movement had a lot to do with black identity and cultural identity, particularly in the context of white supremacy, says Yaba Blay, Ph.D. Daniel T. Blue, endowed chair at North Carolina Central University and author of drop, shifting the lens on race. The movement was about reclaiming ourselves. It was about rejecting mainstream notions of beauty that really seems to be anti-black and anti-us. One power of the internet is that it bypasses national borders, so women outside America saw the words and images extolling natural hair. The internet images extolling natural hair let us connect with other naturals across the globe to share tips and new product recommendations we may have had no idea about, says London-based Shannon Fitzsimmons, creator of the blog UK Curly Girl. And in 2013, author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie said that while the natural hair movement in her home, Nigeria, was in its infancy, she was simply fascinated by this subculture of black women's hair, how transnational it is with bloggers from the U.S. and the Caribbean and the U.K., and how the conversation is so much more than just about hair. It says something about confidence and a new and wonderful sense of self. Growth and adaptation. This sense of self that was so enthralled Adichie was expressed in different ways throughout the diaspora. In places with histories of European settler colonialism, the natural hair movement has much in common with what we see in the United States, says Chelsea Johnson, a sociologist whose research focuses on natural hair women globally. For example, in Brazil and South Africa, wearing natural hair is a way to reevaluate African features against Eurocentric standards of beauty, femininity, and professionalism. In places like Ghana and Nigeria, however, the natural hair movement is more about expressing a cosmopolitan sense of style. In the Dominican Republic, embracing natural hair meant a complete repudiation of the country's hair culture. Ask people with even a hint of kink on their head what happens at Dominican salons, and they will likely regale you with stories of how bone straight the stylist can get hair. Dominican salons stocked with relaxers and searing hot blow dryers are famous across the globe. In a culture that venerates straightness, there has historically been little social acceptance of curly hair. Enter Carolina Contreras, better known as Miss Rizos. Rizo means curl in Spanish. She was not the first Dominican woman to say natural hair or pajon is beautiful, but she was one of the first to take that message online. Natural hair represents freedom from something that I was once a slave to. The relaxers and the long salon visits, it represents beauty. She said in a 2015 interview, after cutting off her long straight hair, Contreras launched Miss Rizos, one of the first natural hair blogs written in Spanish. The blog's popularity led to open Miss Rizos salon in 2014 in Santo Domingo, the nation's capital. Today, Contreras is spreading the pajon love far beyond her country. Specifically, I want to make sure that the laws in Latin America that are already set in place to protect women who want to wear their hair naturally are enforced, she said. My vision is to help eradicate discrimination against curly hair all over Latin America. Throughout the region, other Afro-Latinos or Latinas are celebrating the beauty of non-straight hair. Each year, Black Colombians have a contest in Santo de Cali called Tiendo Esperanzas, which means braiding hope, held around the anniversary of the day when slavery was abolished in the country. It is a dizzying display of art that can be made with cornrows, locks, and twists. Meanwhile, in Guyana, the third annual Curl Fete will take place this month. And across Brazil, natural hair is growing in popularity, coinciding with an increase in the number of Brazilians who identified as Black on the 2016 census. It is not always a shift in consciousness that leads to going natural, but an assertion or assertion of racial pride. 2 years ago, students at Pretoria High School for Girls in South Africa protested against the institution's code of conduct, which made wearing many natural hairstyles a punishable act. Though international media focused on the girls at Pretoria who succeeded in getting the policy changed. Similar codes are common across South Africa. Schools say they have policies that are racially neutral, but those who enforce them have their own idea of what is neat and acceptable, says Libo Hong Masango, a social anthropology master's candidate in Johannesburg and the author of the children's book, Mumpai's Magic Beads. The school system has done a lot to chastise us for our Blackness, even when it purported not to be doing that. Masango argues that girls are directly confronted with institutional policies that denigrate their hair as soon as they reach school age. For this reason, she believes that today's natural hair movement in South America is both a political and aesthetic one. How do I reclaim and reconnect with this Blackness that has been a point of contention for so long? She says this question is at the heart of it. The future of natural hair. Beyond the politics of going natural, women in South Africa are now able to find U.S. and local brands that make it easier to style their hair. After all, a look on YouTube amounts to nothing if you don't have the shampoos, conditioners, or styling aids to do it yourself. Without the right products, it's hard to go natural, says Chimoli Williams, owner of Disapara Products, which distributes American natural hair care brands abroad. I think once they become more available across the African continent, there will be more women transitioning. And the search for these items, many women have found community, notes Williams, who's also the co-creator of the Natural Hair Academy, an annual event that takes place in Paris. It's a chance to get educated about hair, talk empowerment, hang out with your girlfriends and feel stylish. She says of the gathering, which began as a way to get products into women's hands, but now brings thousands of natural hair Black women together from across Europe. Throughout the world, natural hair has taken over social media, invaded the aisles of stores, and has become a festival darling with annual events like Curl Fest in Brooklyn. There are even cruises to celebrate curls and kinks, yet people with non-straight textures still face discrimination, which means the work of the movement is not over. So far, the natural hair movement has successfully tackled informal spaces, says sociologist Johnson, but Twitter, YouTube, and blogs have short memories, and festivals end. Moving forward, I'm expecting the movement to seek lasting change. This idea of lasting change is what motivates Miriam Taylor, a woman of Angolan descent living in Lisbon, Portugal. Taylor went natural when she was pregnant. Unable to locate healthy natural hair products, she decided to make her own, Muxama. Her line of luxury hair products is now sold in Europe and the U.S. This past summer, Taylor was one of the people named in the Forbes article's 100 Women Founders in Europe to follow on Twitter and LinkedIn. when she became a black hair care entrepreneur in 2016, Taylor also decided to stay true to her roots. Muksama means heart in my language, Kimbundi or Kimbundi. She says of her company, which also promotes black artists and champions political causes in the Angolan Portuguese community. I am proud of where I come from, and this is my tribute, my way to praise my origins. It's about giving recognition to our people, making them heard. This is a real movement. It starts with the hair, but does not end with the hair. And that was a good article. So moving on to our next article is from Scenes. We found her, H-E-R, as she slowly sheds her layers of secrecy. H-E-R is no longer incognito. Singer-songwriter Her, which means having everything revealed, emerged in the late 2016 in a shroud of mystery. Fans were in a frenzy trying to find out who was the alternative R&B artist hidden behind the signature sunglasses and a light haze. Fast forward to 2018, and now we know. In addition to her breakout performance on this year's BET Awards, where she sang with Daniel Caesar on his song, Best Part, her EP, I Used to Know Her, the prelude debuted at number one on Billboard's top R&B album chart. Anonymity was a gift. H-E-R, a.k.a. Gabby Wilson, gave herself at the beginning of her career. However, it allowed the now 21-year-old to explore her sound. On the well-received EPs, Her Volume 1, Her Volume 2, and Her Volume 2. The B-slides were sparking some pretty entertaining rumors. Asked which one was the craziest, Her says some fans believe she was Alicia Keys. People were like, oh, did she decide to release new music under a different name? Maybe she rebranded herself. While fans were busy guessing Her was just growing up, the anonymity definitely gave me the confidence to release music that represented a period that was so personal to me, she says. I was transitioning from a young girl to a young woman, and that's always an uncomfortable time. That transition is reflected in her lyrics, in the songs As I Am, or Gone Away, and Focus. For example, she examines relationships and loneliness. I definitely think people know who I am through the music, through the lyrics, she says. But if you're still not quite sure who Her is, she says she's just a super chill girl who enjoys brunch, karaoke, and time with family. I love to walk around and eat, she says, laughing. I love spending time with my family. My mom's Filipino, and we sing karaoke. I'd rather be in the house than in a club, or I'll be in a lounge or a low-key restaurant in Brooklyn. Shed a little of the mystery, and Her is just Her. Continuing on with Scenes, entertainment, our fall guide to all things funny. Do you need a good laugh? Yeah, so do we. Here's a roundup of what to see, read, download, and experience live this season to help us get to happy. Rail. Comedian Lil Rail Howery extends his breakout year. He portrays a newly single dad reclaiming his life in Chicago in this sitcom loosely based on his experiences, and it premiered on September the 9th on Fox. For books, everything's trash, but it's okay. Priced at $26, before the second season of the outrageously quirky comedy series Two Dope Queens returns on HBO, Phoebe Robinson's particular set of skills as a humorist is on full display in her second book, Educate Yourself, October 16th. The Course of 7-day New York Comedy Festival, where whether it's hearing Yvonne Orji code switch between her Nigerian and American roots or enjoying the Bodega Boys, Desus and Moro's bromance, banter, or Tracy Morgan's classic jabs, laughing out loud is guaranteed. And that's going to be from November 5th through the 11th. For film, Nobody's Fool, a tale about two different as Night and Day sisters, Tiffany Haddish and Tika Sumter, who bond over finding the truth about an online romance, can be nothing but hysterical in the hands of writer-director Tyler Perry. And that's going to premiere on November the 2nd. For TV, The Neighborhood, to the Butlers, played by Cedric the Entertainer and Tachina Arnold, all's well in the perfectly black world until a white family moves next door and shakes things up. And that premieres on October 1st, or it has already, well, actually it premieres today, October 1st, CBS. And then for books, Everything's Trash, but I've already went over that. And then the festival, there is a New York Comedy Festival, and that's where Tracy Morgan, it's his classic jabs and laughing out loud, and then again, that's going to be November 5th through the 11th. And then finally, for podcast, The Nod, like Issa Rae, The Nod host Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings are rooting for everybody black, bringing levity to their cultural criticism, and reporting the duo explains the nuances connecting the black or the collective black experience in the diaspora episodes that hooked us. I Want That Purple Stuff in an oral history of knock if you buck. So the new episodes are every Monday wherever podcasts are found. And again, the stars of this particular podcast is Eric Eddings and Brittany Luce from The Nod. Continuing on with Scene Special, Rebel Girl. So Angie Thomas, writer of the critically acclaimed young adult novel The Hate U Give, joins an elite club of black authors whose work has been adapted for the big screen. I'm actually going to stop right here, and then we're going to continue on with this, article titled Rebel Girl, because it looks like that we've actually run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. I'm Nicole Hunter, and be sure to listen next time. I'm reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.